Actually, we had a big free time. But I'll never forget the first time Giorgio had or Marco was super pretty. I was a robust 24 years old. I was panicked, let's just say it. My hands were sweating already as I was thinking that I was about to be a father. We're at the hospital, and yeah, it was about to happen. And so I immediately went out in the hallway. Ran down the hallway, skidded on my knees, and said, "Lord, I am not ready to be a mother. So please do something about this." And thankfully, he did. Her labor pains with Braxton Hicks with false labor. So we got to her for a week. So thank you for that. Anyway, that's my baby story. Oh, yeah, and apparently I got over it because Ashley came. She was delivered very quickly, and there was a woman who was really agonizing in pain, and her husband wasn't there. And I asked my wife if I should go and comfort her. And she delivered this baby, and she looked at me and said, "No." So that's the smart woman. All right, we are in the Book of John, chapter 21. Let's go ahead and read this through. For those who might not have been here this morning, John chapter 21, verse 1 says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael, and Cana of Galilee, sons of Zebedee, and two others, his disciples, were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.' They said to him, 'We're going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to land, they saw fire coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish you've just caught.' Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dared ask, 'Who you are? Who are you?' Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." Continuing on, verse 15. "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, you know them.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' Said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time. And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you did not wish.' This he spoke, signifying by it what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, who also had leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, who is it who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." All right, so how did Peter get to this place where he's about to be confronted by the Lord? I think it started when he boasted in the garden. I don't know if you remember in Matthew 26, Peter says this, "Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. And then, of course, when Peter warmed himself by a fire of coals in the courtyard of the high priest, where after he had already denied his Lord twice, we read this in Luke. "Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you're saying.' Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times.' So Peter went out and wept bitterly." We do not know from Luke 24 that the Lord appeared to Peter sometime after his resurrection and before his first appearance. We do know the Lord did appear to Peter sometime before, in between those two times. We also don't know what was said, but knowing the Savior and his grace, and knowing that Peter must have been distraught and full of guilt and grief, maybe it was important that the Lord show himself to Peter and assure him that he still loved him. So Peter said some things that, of course, he regretted. But you know, when he said, "I will," does that remind you of? Seven times he said, I that's what I was thinking of when I was reading this. "I will never, I will not be my Lord." Beloved, we need to be careful as we say. Okay, so back to the beach. Verse 15. The Lord Jesus breaks the silence after their breakfast, delightfully full. And he looks at Peter and he says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" So let's break this question down. First, Jesus calls Peter Simon, son of Jonah. The name Simon means God has heard. And of course, Jonah was a disobedient and reluctant prophet. So if you put those things together, it does not bode well for Peter. The Lord wanted to take Peter back to the place where God heard him deny that he even knew the Lord. Not once, but three times. The phrase, "Do you love me?" I looked, this phrase is found nowhere else in Scripture, only here, that this phrase is said to anyone. "Do you love me?" The word for love that the Lord used here is agapeo. I think that's pronounced correctly. It has a sense of unconditional love, God's love. Remember that a Pharisee who was a lawyer asked Jesus in Matthew, "Which is the great commandment in the law?" To which Jesus replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." So the Lord Jesus is asking Peter, "Do you love me this way?" And then the phrase, "more than these." I believe this question may be referring back to the garden, of course, of Gethsemane, where Peter boasted the Lord when the Lord told the disciples that they would all stumble because of him that night. But in Matthew, Peter's answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Surely I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. And don't miss that little caveat there at the end. They all said the same thing. But it came out of Peter's mouth. It came out of Peter's mouth first and foremost. And he was the leader. So the Lord could rightly ask him, "Do you love me?" Brother, sisters, I'll tell you, I was convicted going through this. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the Lord standing right here and looking you in the eye and saying, "Glenn, do you me, or Lord, I'll keep you awake. I'll chat with you, but I'll call you." It's a tremendous phrase. Anyway, Peter responds with, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." But Peter uses a different form of the word love, phileo, which refers to a brotherly or friendly love. Peter knew his life. He knew his love did not measure up to what the Lord was asking. And then finally the Lord says, "Feed my lambs." Feed and care for the little lambs. These are newborn believers who need constant care, protection, and teaching. Feeding lambs was not something that Peter would be able to do from the Lord. The Lord was telling Peter that his fishing days were done. From now on, he was to care for and feed God's people. The Lord says to Peter a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love agapeo me?" Peter again responded with less a form of the word love, "Yes, Lord, you know phileo me. Feed my sheep. Take care of the older sheep as well, those who are more mature." The Lord still needs older and more mature in the Lord, they still need care. Be careful. Good. The Lord asked Peter a third time, "Do you love me?" But this time he changes from agapeo to phileo. He lowers the standard and asks Peter, "Do you really even love me as a friend?" The images of that faithful early morning of his denial must have come into his heart and mind as a consuming flame. But the memory of the Lord turning his face towards him as the last denial fell from his lips, was soul-crushing. Beloved, I have tried to envision this in Peter's shoes. Can you imagine? Here you are in this courtyard, warming yourself by this cold fire, and cursing and swearing and saying that you don't even know the man. And then look, and there is your Savior and your Lord being ridiculed and mocked. Hit And in that moment, as soon as you're not even finished with the I don't know him, he turns. And he sits there. Right down into his soul. I try to imagine, what was that look of the Savior? It wasn't, see, I told you so. I don't think that's what it was. But it was a, I knew this was going to happen. I still love you. And I can't put it in order, but that was, it must have been like, feed my sheep, the Lord says. Then the Lord reveals to Peter what the future holds for him. When he was young, Peter did what he wanted and went where he wanted to go. But when he is old, he will glorify the Lord in his death through crucifixion, just like the Lord told him in John chapter 13. Simon, Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me then, but you will follow me afterward. Verse 19, it says, the Lord then says, follow me. The Lord Jesus repeats the same thing he said to Peter when he first met him in Matthew chapter 4, where he says, and I will make you fishers of men. After concluding Peter's restoration in front of the other disciples, the Lord stood up and started to walk. With Peter and the other disciples following. Now, one would surmise, after all the teaching and attention that Peter received from the Lord, that he would be set, right? Laser focused, ready for the task at hand. Just a few steps into his following, he turned, looked at John, and said, but Lord, what about this man? Gosh, I love Peter. He gives me hope that the Lord can use you and me. I mean, after all the Lord just went through, and he tells him to follow me. Follow, when following somebody, you have to be looking. But then he stops and says, you know, poor little me, you know, you come down and give me all this responsibility. What about him? What about John? It goes without saying, even though I'm going to say it, that whatever the Lord has given us to do, we need to do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord and not be concerned about what the Lord has given others to do, even if it is just to wait for his. So, beloved, think about that. Verse 22, if there was anyone who could frustrate the Lord, it had to be Peter. Right? Can you imagine? Now, in the Lord's views, Peter says, turns around and says, what about this man? Now, I don't know how the Lord said this to Peter. I can only make an assumption or but it's like you stepped on the last nerve. You know, it's the final straw. I don't know. If I will that he remain till I come, what's that to you? I said, I don't know how to say it, but you know, if it were me, what is it to you? I've given you something to do. Peter is a very interesting character, isn't he? He made a lot of mistakes and did some things he should not have. But in my eyes, he is a trophy of the grace and mercy of God. Once Peter did receive the Holy Spirit given at Pentecost, he was never the same. Hallelujah. He was powerful and bold and good. He was not controlled by his emotions any longer, for he was controlled by the Spirit of God. So, where does that put us? We have God's word in our hands that shows us how to live, how to speak, how to act, and even how to think. We have the Spirit of God who resides in all who believe, who teaches us, guides us, and empowers us to do the work of the ministry. We have direct access to the Father in prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ. We already know the future for humanity, so there's no guesswork there. We know that if we are absent from this body, that we will be present with the Lord for all of them. We know that when the Lord returns to the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we will be coming with him. We know that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that sin will be no more. Beloved, we know all these things and more, so what kind of people should we be? We have all these things. We have every advantage. So what kind of person should I be? Should you be? Said before, saying it again, this reason, this life, the reason that this life is so precious is because this life is the only time that we will ever have, by faith, to choose to do the right thing. Once we're free from this flesh, we will have the mind of Christ and we'll always make the right choice. Peter puts it this way, that the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your faith right now, today, is more precious than gold that perishes. Did you know gold perishes, by the way? Your faith is more precious than gold. I'm going to say it one more time because some of you are hearing it. Your faith is more precious than gold. What a privilege it is to be part of the family of God. Amen? But there may be some here who have no clue. Because you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know who you are. I remember my heart pounding out of my chest anytime anybody would talk like I'm talking to you right now. Because I knew I was lost. I knew I didn't know the Savior. Good news for you is that God could not have made salvation any easier. The difficult part is admitting to yourself that you're a sinner. You're a sinner by birth, and you're a sinner by choice. There's no getting around this thing. The good news, the gospel, is that the Lord Jesus died sins. Again, we go to Peter. Peter describes it like this, who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The Lord Jesus took all of your sin into his body on that tree. How he did it. There's a lot of sin. I know my own life. There's a lot of sin. There's been billions of people living on this planet. Sin was somehow born in the body of our Savior. And he died on that tree. He paid for your sin. You don't have to pay for it. Romans 9 and 10, very familiar, you can all recite, hopefully. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Beloved, could it be any easier than that? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I pray that you trust the Lord before you leave this place, honestly and truly. And everybody here that knows the Savior will pray the same thing. It is the most important thing that you will ever do. It is the hardest, easiest decision that you'll ever make. For those of us who are already believers, let us fight the good fight of faith. Let us walk in the light of all the things that we have in Christ, just named a few. And may the Lord Jesus receive all the honor. Father, we are so thankful for our Lord Jesus. It is amazing when we look at the lives of the disciples, especially the life of Peter, and see this man who just blew it so many times. But yet, Father, Lord Jesus loved him and encouraged him and helped him. Father, help us as we serve you, as we serve one another, that we would do it with the full mind, that the Spirit of God lives within us, that he gives us the power to do the things, Father, that you asked. So we thank you for this ending story in John here about the disciples. We thank you for the Lord's questioning of Peter. Father, we put ourselves in that place. Do we love you? And I just pray that we can all say that with confidence, yes. And we thank you and praise you in our Lord Jesus' precious name.